Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Where is Balaram? Is Balaram here? Are you here, Balaram? Oh, there he is. There he is, the man himself. This is who our program is all about. There you see. This is Balaram. And Balaram is about how old now? About 6 months. How many? 4.5 only. But Vishvamba and his wife were thinking that it would be nice to have, but they haven't had a program for all the devotees to sort of introduce Balaram so everyone can get to know Balaram. He's a very nice little chap, very quiet and peaceful so far. Perhaps things will change when he gets warmed up a bit, but so far he's a real gentleman. So he is a nice little devotee, and we are sort of officially welcoming him into our devotee community tonight. This is the idea behind this program, although, as we said, it's nice, it's very nice just to get together anyway. But tonight we're getting together by the mercy of Balaram. So you can all pray to Krishna, offer your blessings to Balaram, and pray to Krishna that he grows up to be a very nice little devotee boy. Yes. And in due course of time, he'll become one of the important devotees here in Phoenix, and he'll be able to do a lot to spread Krishna consciousness in the next generation. Yeah. So that's very nice. Little Balaram. Nice little devotee. Actually, we already, you know, there are different samskaras. Samskaras means there are different turning points in a person's life. The first turning point is the time of conception, then the time of birth itself, then there's a name-giving ceremony, a hair-cutting ceremony, and after 6 months, there is a grains, anaprashna it's called, first grains ceremony. So Balaram, he's only 4.5 months old, but he already had his first grains. He really wanted to just go for it. And we normally on that occasion, we also allow the child to choose whether he wants the Srimad Bhagavatam or whether he wants money. In the case of Balaram, well, we thought we didn't really need to offer him the choice. We thought it was sort of automatic, but we thought he was a bit young, actually, because normally they have to be able to crawl to be able to move around between these two objects. But I've seen it done. I remember at least one we did in the temple, one pre-crawling child. Child was only about 4 months, so was still just lying there, unable to move, even crawl. So we put the Bhagavatam there, and we put some money there, and we put him there in the middle. And he didn't know what was happening at all. He was a little bewildered, actually. So he started crying. Then he couldn't crawl, of course, as we mentioned, but he started sort of lifting himself up with his arms, lifting his chest up and picking himself up a bit. And then he just fell over on top of the Bhagavatam. So he took that as a choice. Then he came, straightened himself back up to normal, and again tried to pick himself up and push himself up, and again fell on top of the Bhagavatam. So that was the confirmation. So then he rolled back and again tried to press himself up, and again straight on top of the Bhagavatam, three times in a row. How's that? That was a pretty clear indication that he will be a great scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam and a nice devotee. So we will do that with Balaram after a little while. But for the time being, he's had his first grains. So let us read a verse from Bhagavad Gita. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge, text 22. Lord Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana parupasate tesham nitya biyukta nam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Translation: but those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. I don't know if you remember, but we read this verse back during your tent campaign. You remember the program we had here? We had the Ratha Yatra, and then for some nights we had program here. And one of the nights we read this verse, I think. Yeah, the last night. So why don't we recite this verse responsively? You can repeat after me, okay? But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. That's very nice, isn't it? In other words, Krishna is very kind to his devotees. If we try to serve him and please him, then he will reciprocate. Even he'll reciprocate far beyond our expectations. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Kshema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable, conditioned life. Aranyas chintayanto mam yejana paripasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. For those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. Om Gyanatam Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshomilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Panchakalpa Charubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is very wonderful verse. This is one of the very special verses in Bhagavad Gita. We mentioned how during your tent campaign, the program we had here for 5 days or so, it was earlier this year still, it was in June after the Rath Yatra. So we read this verse on the last day, probably many of you were here, and we told one story. Do you remember that story, Rajiv? You remember the story? Think so? We told the story of Arjuna Acharya. Arjuna Acharya. He was a devotee in South India. And he loved reading Bhagavad Gita. He would read the whole thing every day from beginning to end. Of course, that was just the verses only without any purports, but still it took a while. So he read it every day. And he loved it. He just loved it. But there was only one part which he didn't really love. There was only one part which he couldn't understand. And even to the point that he thought maybe Krishna made a mistake, or maybe somebody made a mistake, and that was this verse. Krishna says, yogikshemam vaham yaham, that to my devotee who's trying to serve me and remember me, that I personally carry to that devotee, whatever that devotee lacks. He thought this was a mistake by somebody because he thought Krishna is God. What is God doing? Carrying things and delivering things like some sort of delivery boy. So he thought, this is not proper. This is not proper. It can't be Vahami. Vahami means I carry. So I don't know, can any of you remember what he thought it was? The alternative? Not Vahami, but... Any of you remember the word? He thought, maybe it is karomi. Karomi means I cause it to happen. I make it happen. That was what he thought. That Krishna, he is God. He doesn't just have to run around delivering things. You take this, you take that. And, no, he's God. He can just get someone else to do that. And he can just relax, because he's God. So therefore, he cut that word out. He cut the word out of the page, the word Vahami, and he wrote in place of it, Karomi, which rhymes, it rhymes, Yogik Shemam Karomyaham. See, it sounds okay. And the meaning is that for my devotees, I cause that they get what they lack. I cause it to happen that they get what they lack. But then, if you remember the story, he was very poor. And after having cut that word out and written in the other word in place, then afterwards he decided, well, it was time to go out and beg food. They did not have any food. They were very poor. Can you imagine living here in Phoenix? And you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. So when you get hungry, you don't just run down to the ShopRite and pull out your Visa card and buy something. But when you get hungry, you just go out into the street and you start asking people, could you please give me something? That is very humbling. So he had to do that every day because he was very poor. So out he went. And while he was out, there was a knock on the door. And his wife opened the door. And there were two young boys there. One was a young, dark-skinned boy, very dark. And the other was a young, light-skinned boy, very light. Like white. Actually white colored skin. And they had between their shoulders, there was one pole balanced on their shoulders. And in the middle of the pole, there was one basket hanging. And it was full of vegetables and grains and ghee and spices and everything you need to make a very nice meal. So the boys said, we met your husband, he was begging in the market, and we told him that here, you can have all these foods. And we told him, we'll deliver them to your door. So here we are, we're delivering them. And the wife said, oh, really? That's amazing. Thank you. That's so kind of you. And she said, please come in and sit down And I will cook and prepare a nice feast, and my husband will be back in a little while, and we could all have a feast together. So the dark-skinned boy, he said, no, no, I'm not going to stay here. For when your husband comes, because you know what happened? Then he showed the wife his back. On his back, there were some cuts and some blood. Oh, it was very horrible. And he told the wife, he said, you know, your husband did this. Arjuna Acharya, your husband, he did this. When I was offering that here is all this food, and I will deliver it to your house, no problem. Then your husband, he hit me, and he cut my back, you see. And so I'm not staying here, I'm getting out of here before he comes back, because we don't know what he'll do next. So they left. And the wife, she was astonished. How is it possible that my husband could do such a thing? He's not like that. And to such a nice boy, who's being so helpful and giving all this nice food and delivering it to our door, how is it possible? She was bewildered. Anyway, shortly after, her husband came back from begging, and he didn't have anything. He had nothing. And he told his wife, well, looks like we have to fast today, because when you're a beggar, it's like that. Yeah, it's like that. Some days, you just have to fast. Not because you want to, but because you have no choice. So, he saw his wife was cooking a big feast. And he said, he asked, where did this come from? What happened? And she said, you know, it was those boys. The dark-skinned boy, the light-skinned boy, you remember? And he said, no, I don't remember any dark-skinned boy, light-skinned boy, I don't remember. And she said, of course you remember, they were offering to bring all this food to the house, to deliver it. But then you hit him, at the dark-skinned boy, you hit him in the back, and you cut his back, you remember? And Arjuna Acharya said, no, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Something is wrong. Something is wrong here. And as he was wondering, what is going on here? All this food, tons of food is delivered. But then they say, I hit them on the back and cut their back. And what is this? This is very, most extraordinary. So as he was trying to understand what could have happened, his eye fell on this verse of Bhagavad Gita, where he had cut out that word, vahami, that I personally carry and I personally deliver, where he cut it out and put in that other word, karomi, which was just his speculation, actually. That Krishna causes it to happen, that these things come to the devotee. And then he remembered that this Bhagavad Gita, it is non-different from Krishna. It is the literary form of Krishna. Krishna is personally present in the pages of Bhagavad Gita. This is why we do not put the Bhagavad Gita down on the ground. I hope you're aware of that. If you're not, well, please bear it in mind from now. We do not put the Bhagavad Gita or any other of the sacred scriptures, we do not put them on the ground, which is a dirty place, because this is the Lord. We want to offer respect. And if somehow we drop the book and it falls on the ground, then we'll pick it up and we'll touch it to our head to offer respect and to, you could say, sort of apologize in a sense. And we will not step over the book. So all these different types of things. And we should be very careful how we handle the book. Because it is Krishna. It is not just some paper with ink on it, just manufactured in some factory somewhere. Even though that has been there, but actually, it is not really like that. This is actually directly the form of Krishna. So Arjuna Acharya realized, I have made a horrible mistake. I cut that word out. So, in effect, I was cutting the body of the Lord. I was committing violence against my dear Lord Krishna. And then he realized, what an offense I have committed. But my wife is such a nice devotee. Still Krishna came and delivered everything anyway. So this is a nice story told by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, it's in a lecture actually. Srila Prabhupada is giving a lecture. And Srila Prabhupada says that many businessmen or people who are into money, they think money is very important. Prabhupada said that for a materialistic person, money is sweet, just like honey. Oh, so nice. Relishable, just like honey. So, Srila Prabhupada said in that lecture that some businessman or some man who's very much into money, he may see the devotees and they don't have any job. They're not working in the factory, pressing the button, pulling the lever, stepping on the pedal, doing all sorts of wonderful things like that. They're not in the factory. Neither are they in the office pushing the pen. But the devotees are just happily chanting Hare Krishna. So they think, ha! Look at these people. Look at these people. That sometimes they come to beg from me. Oh dear Mr. Businessman, please give some money for Krishna. So they're dependent on me. So I am like God, actually. So, Srila Prabhupada commenting there, he says that for that man, Krishna speaks this verse, that we should not underestimate Krishna. No. That Krishna looks after his devotees in all respects, just like me. Not that I'm much of a devotee if I am one, but anyway, sort of going through the motions in some respects. But I've been doing this now for almost 30 years, but still I haven't died yet of starvation or not having a roof over my head or not getting medical treatment. You see, you haven't died either. You're still around. So I'm still around. But I haven't been working in the factory. Sorry to say. Sorry to say, I haven't been working in the factory or in the office. Just been chanting and dancing, chanting Hare Krishna. What do you think of that? Is that okay?